In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the feast of these holy martyrs, Saints Cornelius and Cyprian. We know that during their time, they, having passed from the earth 5 years apart from one another, Saint Cornelius first, who was the Pope, passed at 253, and his brother down in Carthage, a bishop, Cyprian, in 258. One of the greatest things in which they were, the greatest controversy at the time was that a man by the name of Nestorius rose up at that time, who was the first antipope. He put himself up being born in unnatural ways under the priesthood because he received his conversion, that of baptism, on his deathbed. Reading through the annals of the saints, it was one of those particular irregularities that one who was admitted into the Christian life on a deathbed, being baptized in bed rather than being baptized in a church, was not able to attain to the priesthood. But after this man received that baptism, God granted the grace of a miracle such that he recovered from his deathbed and went on to live a much longer life. With a renewed zeal that he had, he gave himself to a firm practice of the faith and then received the priesthood, and later on received something like unto a bishopric of sorts. But it was a ill-fated movement of zeal that led him to become an antipope. Because of the many difficulties going on at the time under the persecutions, this man then chose to see that those who were around him who had not professed the faith strongly should not ever be admitted back to the faith. If one was so weak that they would pinch incense to the gods for fear of their own flesh, or to get a writ that said that they had offered incense to the gods, a libellus, then they should not be admitted back to the Christian faith, for they did not seek the martyrdom which was offered to them. St. Cornelius, as well as St. Cyprian, recognizing the mercy of God has nothing to do with the harshness of man, admitted such a ones, as was the practice of the church, to be able to bring them back through harsh penances, which were taken for the recuperation of one's soul. This other heretic said that because of certain sins, certain persons could never be admitted back to the faith. Taking from their example, how do we treat ourselves and how do we treat others when we fall greatly within sins? Are we harsh with them? Are we harsh with ourselves? Or do we see that God can even overcome these difficulties within our lives? So many struggle with those difficulties against scruples, where they see that sin is everywhere and lurking around every corner, such that God desires to strike them down. But such is certainly not the way of God, who has come only to show mercy. For without the coming of Christ, man would have no hope of salvation. So God condescended and came down to save men. And so too his mercy extends not only to those who are not harsh sinners, but rather it extends to all. And so listen to the words of St. Cyprian, whose feast we celebrate here today, the Bishop of Carthage, and be attentive to wisdom's call. He writes thus. He says, in the world, for as long as it remains, no act of repentance is ever too late. The path of approach to God's pardon remains open, and to those who seek it and understand its truth, access is easy. Through it is the very exit and the sunset of your life that you entreat for your sins, and you call on God, who is one and true, in confession by faith. Forgiveness is granted to you in response to your confession. Saving pardon is conceded to you for your faith from God by his bowed in duty as Father, and you pass at the point of death into immortality. Christ imparts this grace, this gift of his mercy he bestows from his subjugation to death in the victory of the cross, by his redemption of the believer at the price of his own blood, by his reconciliation of humanity to his God and Father, by his restoration of mortal man to life, though being born again from heaven. Let us all follow him, therefore, if we can, and let us be enrolled as citizens, taking his oath under his standard. This is he who opened to us the way of life, he who makes possible our return unto paradise, he who leads us to the kingdom of heaven. With him we will live forever, having been made through him sons of God. With him we will be able to rejoice forever, having been restored through his own blood. We will be as Christians with Christ, at once glorified, blessed from God the Father, rejoicing always in God's sight with an unfailing pleasure, and giving thanks always to God. For no one can be anything other than always joyful and grateful who, though he had been subject to death, has now been made free from its fear in immortality. These are the words of St. Cyprian of Carthage. And so too for us, to realize that it is never too late for any soul to return to God while still in this life. And so let us hold out hope for those who are obdurate sinners, particularly within our families, as well as within our culture and world. But most importantly, for ourselves, should we fall into sin, even if it be habitual, that God in his mercy desires our salvation far more and was for this purpose that he sent his Son. And so through the work of penance, we might return to him as St. Cornelius and Cyprian gave their lives for such a faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.